Content warning. Discussions of violence, torture and death that some people may find disturbing. Welcome to the Newcastle Witches podcast. Thank you for listening. This is an original podcast created by Candle and Bell.
Newcastle-upon-Tyne, or just Newcastle, is a city situated along the River Tyne in the northeast region of England. The northeast is between Yorkshire and Scotland. It is made up of four counties: County Durham, Tyne and Wear, Northumberland, and Teesside. Newcastle is in Tyne and Wear. Across the river is the town of Gateshead. 14 miles south of Newcastle is Sunderland. And 61 miles north of Newcastle is Berwick-upon-Tweed. Berwick is the most northern town in England, situated just 2 miles south of the Scottish border. Newcastle was first developed as a Roman settlement. Hadrian's Wall ran across what is now known as Newcastle, dividing England from the tribes in the north and Scotland. In the 5th century, Newcastle would become part of the Kingdom of Northumbria, after it was invaded by the Anglo-Saxons. The northeast would witness numerous conflicts with invading armies of Danes and Normans over the centuries. In 1087, a wooden castle was built on a hill close to the River Tyne. In 1172, it was rebuilt with stone. This new castle is where the city gets its name, and it's still standing to this day. In the 1500s, Newcastle's wealth and importance grew. The land in the northeast has an abundance of minerals such as salt and coal. And during the Industrial Revolution, around 1760 to 1840, Newcastle and the entire region of the northeast would become famous for coal mining, chemical manufacturing, glass manufacturing, and shipping. These industries would make the region the center of innovation in science, engineering, and maritime transportation. For instance, Charles Parsons launched Turbinia in 1894. It was the first ship to be powered by electric turbines. The friction match was invented by John Walker in Stockton-on-Tees in 1826. George Stephenson, also known as the father of the railways, built the first steam locomotive to carry passengers. The Stockton and Darlington Railway opened in 1825. And on the 17th January 1879, Joseph Swan was the first person to publicly demonstrate an incandescent light bulb. Today, Newcastle is a thriving city known for its vibrant theatre, poetry and music scene, its festivals, markets, and of course its nightlife. But before all of this, before it was at the centre of a revolution that changed society forever, before the ships, the bridges and the huge coal exports, a state-sanctioned murder played out in public. It resulted in the persecution and imprisonment and hanging of 15 women and one man. The victims were hung in front of a crowd on the town moor, a vast expanse of common land just north of the city of Newcastle. At roughly 1,000 acres, it is larger than Hyde Park in London and even larger than the Central Park in New York. Today, it's where cattle graze, families have picnics, swans paddle in the pond. It is the site of carnivals, parades, and even fun runs. But in 1650, it was the site of a mass execution. This is the story of a city in turmoil and a community struggling to survive. This is the story of the Newcastle Witches.
In the year 1650 in Newcastle-upon-Tyne, on the town's very own moor, 15 women and one man were sent to the gallows for the crime of being a witch. These people faded into history, becoming nothing more than a folk story.
We are on a journey to uncover how and why these murders took place. This is a piece of history that has been forgotten by all but a few, and we want to uncover it. Who were these people? Who was the witch pricker who condemned them? And why?
Before we go any further, I'd like to say the names of the known victims of the witchcraft trials. In total, 27 people were condemned. Unfortunately, we only have the names of the 16 people who were executed on the town moor. We do not have the names of any other accused witches or the names of any who may have died awaiting trial. Their names are Matthew Bulmer, Elizabeth Anderson, Jane Hunter, Mary Potts, Alice Hume, Eleanor Rogerson, Margaret Muffet,
Margaret Madison, Elizabeth Brown, Margaret Brown, Jane Copeland, Anne Watson, Eleanor Henderson, Elizabeth Dobson, Catherine Coulter, and Jane Martin. My name is Maria, and I am a film producer and filmmaker, and I run a production company called Candle and Bell in the northeast of England. And a few years ago, I was lucky enough to be filming an event for Northumbria University, and part of the event was a lecture by a woman called Claire Nally, who lectures at Northumbria University and who specialises in the witchcrafts of Newcastle. And I was fascinated by her lecture, but then sort of, you know, put it to one side, forgot about it. And it was many years later when, in 2017, my relative, Daphne Caruana Galizia, was assassinated by a car bomb outside her home. And she was a journalist, and almost throughout her career, she was vilified and attacked for being outspoken, for being direct, and for investigating high-level corruption in government in Malta. One of the many different slurs people would use against her was the witch in the valley. And I became incredibly fascinated by the term witch. Why do people use it? What does it mean to people? It seems it's almost exclusively used to demean, to belittle, to attack women, to exaggerate their appearance, to make them outsiders, to discredit their work, to discredit them as humans. And that was my starting off point into thinking, well, where does this term come from? And why does the term witch and the imagery that comes with it so demeaning specifically towards women?
My name is Caitlin. I'm an assistant producer at Candle and Bell, and I've been working here for 9 months? About 9 months, Maria?
I don't know. It's felt like 5 years.
I started here about 9 months ago. I met Maria through making a short film with her, and then since then she has not been able to get rid of me. And it's the truth though, isn't it?
It is.
She has not been able to get rid of me, and we ended up talking about our kind of shared interests. This ended up being one of them. So, when I was about 8 years old, I was taking on a school trip by my primary school. We were going to this church that is now a heritage centre. I believe it was a heritage centre at the time as well, but we were taken there on a school trip. I cannot for the life of me remember why we were going to the Heritage Centre. I remember seeing these kind of exhibits that they had put up, but I can't remember it at all. What I do remember was that the tour guide took us around the churchyard and was talking about the gravestones and telling us stories of some of the people who were buried there. And he stopped at one point and asked us if we wanted to know a story. And obviously a bunch of 7 to 8 year olds, we all wanted to know the story. So he turned and pointed at the sage and started to tell us a story about how when they built the sage, the workers found the body of a witch there. The church was asked if they could take the body and bury it within their grounds, and the church had said no. She was a witch, and therefore she could not be buried within their graveyard. I remember being quite horrified at the time and feeling really sad, but I didn't really know why. And it was a story I've never forgotten. I forgot the rest of the trip, the actual reason why we were there, but I never forgot the story of the witch buried beneath the sage. I told Maria that story after I started at Candle and Bell, after she told me her own connections and links to the word witch. And I started researching, back in August, September time, researching the Newcastle witch trials, and ended up falling down a massive rabbit hole of forgotten history and forgotten victims.
So what are we doing with this podcast? Well, as we said earlier, we are on a journey to discover as much as we can about the Newcastle witch trials and why they took place. We're filmmakers, not historians, so neither of us are experts in 17th century life or witchcraft.
I've read a lot about the witch trials in both England and Scotland, with a focus specifically on the Newcastle trials for the podcast. So alongside of our own research, we'll be interviewing experts to talk about the history of witches and witchcraft and the history of Newcastle, England at the time.
We're very lucky that they've joined us, really, because some of the things they've said have blown my mind so far.
Again, everyone has this perception of what the witch trials were and what happened to these people, and then you get more into it and it becomes so much more complicated. And you realise there were so many factors at play, and it wasn't one simple thing. It was so many different elements all coming together, which ended up executing a lot of people.
Yeah, so part of our research has already uncovered this, but what we want to share with you is really to show that the Newcastle witch trials didn't happen in a bubble.
Yeah, like Maria says, they didn't happen in a bubble, which is why... Throughout the podcast, we will be discovering what happened in the 17th century Newcastle. We will also be exploring what it meant to be a witch at the time. As an underlying theme over the course of the episodes, we will also be looking at modern uses of the word witch and how it is still used as a derogatory term and why. We do not believe that the accused were practitioners of witchcraft and were in fact innocent people vilified by an unfair justice system.
They were heavily influenced by the social, the political, the religious climate of 1650. There was a civil war, a plague, and the rise of a Puritan ruling class. And a lot of these things added to the scapegoating of vulnerable people, particularly women and the poor.
So we're coming to the conclusion of our little introduction, and I just wanted to add a disclaimer in here. I just wanted to state that when we're discussing witchcraft and magic and practices, we're talking about it in the context of the 17th century. We're not making comments on modern-day practices of paganism, witchcraft, or any other beliefs unless stated otherwise. However, if you do hear us getting anything wrong or anything muddled, please do let us know. We do not mean or intend to cause any offence at any point, so please do let us know if we do make a mistake somewhere, and we'll try and right our wrong however possible.
Thank you for listening to the Newcastle Witches podcast. I'm Maria.
And I'm Caitlin. And you can find us on any of our social medias. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for the Newcastle Witches podcast, where we'll keep you updated with any information we have about the episodes. Please feel free to ask us any questions there, or if there's anything you're interested in us covering in the podcast, or anything you'd like to hear more about, just drop us a message. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on our first episode.